The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, January 14th, and we have a super friend show with some bold predictions headed your way. If you want to dive into other podcasts in the feed, there's plenty available for you. Of course, we had Saturday recap, Sunday recap from the super wild card round. Then we talked to Jonathan Jones, doing some Deshaun Watson chatter, all about that. So you can go listen to that, as well as some GM and coaching rumors. A Brady Quinn football show is in the feed. And then coming up tomorrow, we will have our Best Bets podcast with RJ Kenny. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's actually going to stream today. Can we, Devo, can people watch it live today?
That'll be live at 4 and then in podcast feeds first thing Friday morning.
Yes. Yeah, so if you don't want to wait for the Best Bet show, you can tune into Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/CBS Sports HQ or go to youtube.com or the YouTube app and search for Pick Six Podcast. And you can actually probably watch it on Twitter if you go to @PickSixPod. Those three places, you can watch it live at 4 p.m. and probably a replay after that on Twitch or on YouTube if you're so inclined, or wait until the podcast drops on Friday morning. Either way, make sure and check those out. It'll be awesome. And then at 2 p.m. Eastern or thereabouts, and I'll tweet this out, on Saturday, we'll be doing a preview on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter, in which we look at gambling DFS for the Saturday divisional games. And then Sunday at noon to 1 p.m., we'll be doing that same thing for the Sunday games, four games coming up. Very excited about it. And now we'll make some bold predictions with
Brinson real quick, an hour before pregame for each of those. Sunday starts a little later. Saturday starts a little later. So an hour before pregame is just something good to go by. We'll be live an hour before.
So an hour before the first game starts, we will go live.
Yep.
Maybe 90 minutes if we're really popular. Just kidding.
Conference championship.
I don't need that. Anyway. Did Devo just cuss? Brian Wilson cussed on the live Twitch stream the other night. It was incredible. The greatest moment in the podcast history. And, Ryan Wilson and John Breach joining me now to talk some bold predictions for the divisional round. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Well, I can't believe that we had to hire someone to sit next to Devo to bleep out Ryan because his cussing's got out of hand.
You know what I can't believe? I can't believe social didn't cut that rant of mine about that punt by the Steelers early in the fourth quarter. Because that was the angriest I've ever been on this podcast. It didn't involve Brinson just being Brinson.
Well, the social guy's too busy bleeping out your F-bombs, man. He can't do everything.
Fair enough.
Is that your first time you ever cussed on a...
It's my first time I ever cussed in my life.
That's not true. Is that the first time you've ever cussed, like, accidentally live on a show or...
Yeah.
I don't know that I've, knock on wood, ever done it. Like, no, I guess I've done it on the podcast before.
HQ, yeah. I mean, you're not going to curse on HQ.
I remember one time, it was after a Steelers loss, one of my passive aggressive happy times. Wilson almost cussed, but he caught himself. So he has come close, but I've never heard him do it ever until the other night.
I probably would have cussed if you'd made me do a Colts Bills live stream last Saturday for the fourth quarter of that game. But
now, Debo will recall, as you guys will as well, I cursed several hundred times prior to the draft podcast last Saturday. Right, yeah. That I was pretty fired up.
I know Debo has plenty of recordings of you cussing. Just
that was in the middle. That was like as we were taking a break before we started up the second portion of the show.
because my internet kept crapping out at the office, and I was just like, I can't take it. I had a falling down moment with Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas, thank you.
Without the gun, obviously. Ravens at Bills is our first game on the. That's it. It's not the first game on the docket. It was actually the Sunday night game on NBC.
But Saturday night.
On Saturday night game on NBC. Is that right?
So Breach.
I'm the schedule guru, Brinson. Trust me.
I'll tell you this. This is how much Breach is such. You okay, Breach? Yeah. You looked up to your right like you're about to get.
I was trying to get my coffee. I was trying to see where my coffee is. I gotta get my coffee.
Hit mute and go get it.
This is how much of a Rain Man breaches of the scheduling. Like last weekend, I was in Stanford, and I didn't know. I wanted to know what time the game was going to be even before the games had finished. So I just emailed him or slacked him, and he slacked me back. And Eric Casillas is like, "Nah, Breach is wrong on the Sunday games. They always start at 1 and 4." I was like, "Yeah,
oh yeah, yeah, what? Oh, okay, all right." So like, I'm dead wrong about these preview shows. The preview shows will be at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday.
You got to ask Breach.
At 2:05 p.m., 2 o'clock on Sunday. So it starts at 3. Did it usually start at 1 o'clock on Sunday?
That's what Casilli said. And I said, you might be right, but Breach is rarely wrong with this stuff. So take it up with him.
Last year was the first year the Sunday divisional round started at 3:05 and 6:40.
That's right.
This is the second year, and that's how it will be going forward. Cause that's always the start times for the NFC and AFC championships.
Yes.
And they made that the divisional round. That, and so last season was the first time. So it's, that's why everyone forgot.
What was the logic in doing that last year?
I think the ratings are a lot higher at 3 and 6:40.
Sure.
And that's it. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, because people are out doing stuff, getting lunch at, from 12 to 1, and they're not back home to see the beginning of the game. So they want full ratings.
Or church.
That is why the NFL starts at 1, is church.
Your mom's a pastor, and you didn't even know that.
Well, I do know that. That's why the NFL starts at 1. So the second game of the day on Sunday, it also threw me off that the NBC game is on Saturday night instead of Sunday night because, you know, Sunday night football. So the second game of the day on Sunday, Baltimore-Buffalo is where we'll start. This is, you know, all – through respect to the CBS game on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, Baltimore Buffalo is the highest profile, sort of most interesting game. There's a ton of narratives about this. Josh Allen won his first playoff game. Obviously Lamar Jackson won his first playoff game. They were combined 0-3 before that. And now the 5-seed Ravens, white hot, head to Buffalo to play the number 2-seed Bills. So we'll kind of get into the game by looking at it from a bold prediction standpoint. Wilson, give us a bold prediction for Ravens at Bills.
Stephon Diggs, who led the world in targets at 166 and receptions at 127, is going to have 4 more receptions in this game and are going to come with him crossing the goal line in the end zone. So he's going to have 4 touchdown catches.
Now, he's only going to have 4 catches and all 4 will be touchdowns?
No, 4 of his catches will end up with him being in the end zone.
So he's going to score 4 receiving touchdowns.
I went a long way to get to the, yes, 4 touchdown catches. And here's the thing. Now, you might say, he only had, 6 games in which he caught at least 1 touchdown pass, and he had 1 game where he had 3. So this sounds crazy. Well, that's why it's a bold prediction. And he's also going to take some inspiration from Devontae Smith, who is now the best player on planet Earth in any sport, who ran all over Ohio State like he was invisible.
Well, just out of curiosity, what does that have to do with Baltimore?
I'm just linking the Devontae Smith to Stephon Diggs, the way they play.
Okay. You think they're similar?
No, I just, a little bit. They are a little similar. They're really good, but we're coming off.
You're
the
just
game
sort of making a comment on Monday night's game.
Yeah. Okay. The way he ended his career as the Heisman winner, and then he only played a half and had 215
yards. Hurt his finger. They came back out on the sidelines in a Heisman mask, which was, pretty cool.
He may have had 4 touchdowns, 3 or 4 touchdown passes. My point is that they're both really good, and he's going to take inspiration from that.
Okay. So I'm going to grade all these bold predictions, and, I'm going to give this one an A-.
I think the balance is you can't be just – I can't say 27 touchdowns because that's certainly bold, but
I think 4 is kind of there. Now, if this hits, I will immediately obviously get a Stephon Diggs and a 4 touchdown tattoo on my butt.
If you're setting the – what's the odds on this? Like, what are you – make the odds and give the grades.
I think we might be able to look that up.
I'm giving this
an A- because, one, I feel like – you know, to pull back the curtain a little bit, Wilson may not have had this at the top of his mind for 12 hours now, and I have no problem with that. But I think you threw out 4 kind of in a hurry. I think you could have gotten away with 3. And so I'm docking you from an A+ to an A-. I think 3 receiving touchdowns is an A+. 4 is really unlikely. Also, the Baltimore Ravens allowed 11 receiving touchdowns all season long.
That's
and we're bottom and we're bottom three in the NFL in terms of fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. And so I am not entirely bullish on the idea that
four is going to add on to that point. The Ravens only gave up four touchdowns, just total, forget to one player, in four games this year.
That's what I'm told, too.
Against the Chiefs, they gave up four touchdowns. Against the Steelers, they gave up four touchdowns. Against the Eagles, they gave up four touchdowns. And their game against the Browns, I lost track. I think they gave up five or six, but so those are only four times they gave up.
Of those teams.
And also, one more time, the NFL record for touchdown catches in a postseason game is three.
Of those teams, how many are better than the Bills that you named that had scored four touchdowns?
I don't think the Chiefs are.
Maybe.
Would you have any interest in scaling back your bowl prediction to three?
I'll do 3.5 only because my next bowl prediction is of a similar value.
Well, don't spoil it for the podcast. Well,
I didn't want to say anything, but you keep pushing me on it. I'm fine with 3.5 to 4. I'm fine with that.
Well, I mean, if he scores 3.5 touchdowns, that's the most impressive thing of all time because you can't score half a touchdown. Three is 45 to 1 that he will score three receiving touchdowns.
All right.
So score four.
That's like 100 to 1.
It's probably like 90 to 1.
Yeah, I said 90.
Because that's an NFL record. Can you guys name just one player ever who caught three touchdowns?
Hines Ward.
Calvin Johnson.
Jerry
Rice.
I think only played in like one playoff game ever.
Oh, three in a playoff game.
But Brenton, you redeemed yourself with your second guess of Jerry Rice.
Say that maybe Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Smith.
Larry Fitzgerald, yes.
Okay. How about Steve Smith?
I'm going with Steve Smith. I'm going with Steve Smith of the Giants, not Steve Smith of the Panthers. That's how bold my prediction is.
I when you said that, I thought you meant any game all time.
Like, okay, so it's been done 18 times. Jerry Rice has done it three. Larry Fitzgerald has done it once, and Steve Smith zero.
Okay.
But Gronk did it once.
Oh, Gronk's a good one. Now, has anyone ever done four?
No one has ever done four.
Breach has said that three times.
That's why it should be 100 to 1, because it's literally never been done in the NFL.
500 to 1.
90 to 1 is what it's at.
All right, what about Stephon Diggs' expected performance in this matchup leads you to, like, do you think Diggs is just going to torch Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, regardless of who he's matched up on, that the Bills will be slinging it around? Because I feel like the Bills may be a little more conservative than normal against a defense that's pretty good in Baltimore.
They don't have to be bombs. John Brown's back, so that helps. Cole Beasley, I don't know if he's going to be healthy or not. I don't know what the injury was.
It looked like Jalen Waddle on Monday night. Like,
yeah, and he still had six catches. I mean, he played a pretty good game for being injured, so I don't know what his injury status is now. I like Stephon Diggs, and I like Josh Allen. I think this is four touchdowns. I mean, we went over the odds. It's like a 5%, not even. It's a 1% chance that it happens. Probably less than that.
Okay. That's why I'm giving you an A-, because I think if you said three, we would have been like, oh, A+, great pick. But obviously, I can't give you an A+.
Yeah, A-minuses are still A's.
Okay. So I'm kind of leaning. I like the Ravens in this spot. Am I crazy?
That's your bold prediction?
I don't have a bold prediction. You're doing a bold prediction, and we're talking about the game.
What's the line?
It has gone from Bills -3 all the way down to Bills -2.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a pick'em. I like the Bills.
Season high was three touchdowns. Sorry. I just want to throw that
in. I know. I already said that. I went through his stats. I swear to God, you guys. I just can't. I can't take it.
We're trying to pop you up.
Are you on mute? I can't hear you, Wilson. I don't know what's going on.
I'm about to have a meltdown, Devo. Can't get your finger over the
button. We're trying to get another F-bomb out.
We're trying to help you out. We felt like you were sort of reeling after a questionable bowl prediction.
We'll have seven touchdowns. 42 catches.
It's a pick'em, but sentimentally, I'm going with the Bills. But yeah, the Ravens could absolutely win. And, you know, we talked about the five games at the end of the regular season. The Ravens didn't really play anyone. Well, they played someone last week, and they beat them pretty soundly after the 10-0 deficit. So, again, I think the Bills are over the hurdle of playing big in big moments. I think they're ready to go, but these are two good football teams.
Breach, you made a little face. They played somebody and took care of business. Are you suggesting that the Titans are?
No, he just said he beat them soundly. I don't know that a 2013 win with the Titans driving to tie the game in the final minute is soundly. Like,
what a weird time to cape up for the Titans.
I know, if Mike Vrabel's headset would have gone out in the fourth quarter, the Titans probably win that game because then he couldn't call for that punt on 4th and 2 from Baltimore's 40.
No one makes more excuses for losers than Bruce.
I just don't understand why you even have to they lost. It's over. They're gone. Well, they're done. They're out of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, but if your point for saying the Ravens will play well on Saturday is because they beat the Titans soundly, that's, I'm just disappointing or disagreeing with
correct.
That point.
You got that
also
part right. Quit
disappointing
talking.
In that point. You know, here's the thing about this game is that, look, the Ravens are this one-dimensional team in the NFL right now.
Are they?
Led the NFL in rushing.
They're not.
And they had the fewest passing yards in the NFL. So it's literally number one in rushing, number 32 in passing.
Worth noting, Lamar Jackson didn't play for a bit with COVID, and RG3 and Trace McSorley had to start. So take out two games. How much difference is there between the worst and the second worst passing team?
I think – how many games did Lamar miss? I think he only missed one.
So the Bills finished 12th in defensive DVOA. The Ravens finished 9th. My concern for the Bills here is that while I do believe that Josh Allen will be capable of putting up points, I mean, they weren't particularly efficient against the Colts in that game. I thought sputtered out of the gates a little bit, I guess would be the appropriate way to say it, and didn't play their best game and still managed to lob up 29 points.
Wait a second. They played a pretty solid game. I mean, the only issue I had was the fumble at the end. They got screwed out of the call.
Argued about this on Saturday night.
Well, quit saying it. They played pretty well. I don't know if our buddy Aaron Schott says the DVOA for game by game in the playoffs, but I'd be interested to see if it agrees more with you or more with me.
I mean, I just don't think the Bills played their best game.
No, I heard you. That's all right.
I mean, okay. Anyway, my point being is that the upside for them to score 35 points against anybody is there. Even a Ravens team that's top 10 in defense, but not necessarily elite in defense, like maybe the Saints, or the Steelers end up ranking, even though I think we would agree that they don't fit that bill anymore. My concern for Buffalo is that you could see the Ravens, if the Ravens can get a lead, I think the Ravens can run all over them. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was eaten, and if you have a good offensive line and you can, power run against Buffalo, they're just smaller in the interior. And with all the motion and stuff and all the various option looks that the Ravens can give you, I think it's a little difficult to, I mean, the linebackers for Buffalo are great, but you can sort of nullify that strength and that advantage they have by, with what the Ravens do on offense. So I think there's that game script where Baltimore just pounds the ball down their throats. And then in my opinion, if you were forced Josh Allen to play hero ball off a deficit, it could potentially, he could come back, but it could potentially go really south. And the same could be said for Baltimore. If Buffalo comes.
Who's the best hero ball player when you're down 10 points? Who would you
rather? I'd rather have Josh Allen than Lamar Jackson. Right. For sure. That's the problem here. If Buffalo gets down or if Buffalo gets up 10 to 14 points, I don't feel particularly confident about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens coming back. Although certainly them doing it last week against the Titans makes you feel a little bit better. I mean, that stat now is one double digit comeback win. Never done it is thrown out the window now.
Still no comeback when trailing at halftime. So if the Bills jump out to that lead, and my point with the one-dimensional thing that I was going to make is that if they can just slow down the Bills' run game, the Ravens' run game, you don't have to stop it. You just slow it down and force the Ravens to pass. And the Titans kind of started to do this.
Right, that's the other thing.
But the problem is the Titans got too one-dimensional with Derrick Henry, but the Bills aren't going to do that. So when you're talking about the Ravens, if you just slow down that run game and make Lamar Jackson throw the ball, that's your recipe to win. And the reason I think they can do this is because if you look at Baltimore's five losses this year, four of them have come to coaches who are ex-defensive coordinators who are going to sit down, kind of take this Lamar Jackson thing as a challenge. We're talking about Belichick. We're talking about Mike Tomlin twice. And we're talking about Mike Vrabel when they lost to the Titans in the regular season. And also, the Titans playoff game last year, again, Mike Vrabel, you have these, and Sean McDermott is, I think, one of the most underrated defensive minds, not underrated as a coach anymore because everybody's seen what he has done. But I think people do forget that he's got a very defensive background. And the reason I think Lamar Jackson has struggled against these defensive minded coaches is because these are the guys that are doing the Belichick, do your job. You have one responsibility. If you're the guy that's supposed to be on Lamar Jackson this play, you can't lose him or he's going to break away for a 48-yard touchdown run like he did against the Titans. And so that's why I think that we've seen defensive-minded head coaches have more success against Lamar Jackson just because the defenses play smarter. And I think the Bills can do that on Saturday.
And also worth noting, the Bills, who had 19 sacks all season, sacked Lamar four times in the first half. So that's...
and that, five that, total in the game. The
Titans defense sucks. I mean, they are doo-doo.
You mean the Titans sacked Lamar four times in the first half?
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, did they play?
Titans defense. They had 19 sacks all season, came in with five total in that playoff game. Butler had the interception on the second series. Almost had another one in the end zone. And those are from throwing the ball, as Breach notes. So I sentimentally like the Bills, and I feel like they're the better team. But again, let Lamar Jackson have 275-yard touchdown runs, and it's over. So you got to be careful. It only takes a couple plays to turn that thing.
Here are, including the playoffs, the five five games in which the Bills have allowed the most rushing yards this season. And there are only five times this year that the Bills have given up 150 rushing yards or more. 245 rushing yards allowed to the Kansas City Chiefs in week 6, a 26-17 loss. 217 rushing yards allowed to the Arizona Cardinals in a 32-30 crazy loss that easily could have been a win for the Bills. 188 rushing yards allowed in a 3-point victory over the Patriots. 167 rushing yards allowed in a 3-point victory over the Rams that could have easily been a loss. And 163 rushing yards allowed in a 3-point playoff victory last week over the Colts. I think my point there is, I don't necessarily think it's a correlation to teams having a huge lead and running the ball, because the Cardinals had a Hail Mary and the Bills had this crazy pass interference play that led to a touchdown against the Rams, and that Bills pass game was just close the whole time. The Chiefs took care of business and ran the football. I just sort of wonder if this isn't the formula to taking out Buffalo. And I think that Baltimore can do what Indianapolis did at a better level on the ground. The only difference is, can Lamar sort of be free as a passer and kind of and play and like will he play better as a passer now that he's got a playoff win? I think that's entirely possible. If he lays an egg, then they're in trouble.
Why would he play better because they have one playoff win as a passer?
I just think he'd be a little more loose. Like I think he was tight against the Titans early.
And I will say these teams actually played in December 2019, and obviously, you can't just watch that game because it's a year ago and say that's what's going to happen here. But it is interesting because both teams were good at the time. The Bills were 9-3. The Ravens were 10-2. Yep. And the Ravens won that game 24-17. But what the Bills did is they said, we're not going to let Lamar run. He had 11 carries for 40 yards. Under 4 yards per carry. He had one run for 16. So you take that out, it was under 2.5 yards per carry. But what Lamar did is he completed only 16 passes, but threw 3 touchdown passes. Yeah. And so he was just on point. And if Lamar plays like that, then the Ravens are going to win. And then on the flip side, Josh Allen got sacked 6 times and went 17-39 and threw for 150 yards. So, if they're putting that kind of pressure on Josh Allen, I think Josh Allen's a smarter, better quarterback than he was last year. If that's how this game plays out, then the Bills are in trouble.
If Don Martindale has cooked up something like that for Josh Allen before, I think you at least have to be wary that he could do the same thing. Obviously, a different team, Stephon.
One thing I would say also about that in terms of the Bills. Look, you can run Josh Allen, but what Josh Allen can't do, and he's done this throughout his career, and he's done it this season, but to a lesser extent, you can't take a huge hit when you're running. Because he's fast for a big guy, but he's not particularly laterally quick. So he can run in a straight line, but he needs to slide because all it takes is one headshot, and that's a wrap. And then it's Matt Barkley time, and forget about it.
And we haven't seen a big turnover from Josh Allen yet in a while either. He was looking to make one against.
How dare you?
He tried.
All right, Browns at Chiefs Sunday afternoon on CBS Sports.
Did Breach do his crazy prediction?
No, we're just doing one each.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, didn't get the memo. 3:05 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Nets, Romo, Wolfson in KC, looking like 35 degrees and sunny. By the way, we could get snow and nasty weather in Buffalo as well. We'll see what the wind is, but I think that certainly favors Baltimore. Should just be cold as hell in KC as the shocking Browns come to town. KC, a 10-point favorite. Breach, give me a bold prediction for this game.
My bold prediction is that the Cleveland Browns finish with more offensive yards than the Chiefs.
That's a good one. I'm going to give it a
straight. I rarely like anything Breach says bold prediction-wise, but that one's pretty good.
I'm going to give it a straight A. And I am still, there's something built into there that's like a sneaky Breach move.
Well, I think, I'm going to guess. The Chiefs offense hasn't been lighting on fire. We talk about the last six games. They won by one score or less. They lost week 17 because they didn't play anyone. So this ain't the 2019 version of this offense. The Browns are going to be down and they have to wing the ball around the field. But even if they don't, Nick Chubb can run, as we saw on Sunday, he can run for drag teams up and down the field by himself. So I think there's plenty of avenues for a lot of yards for the Browns playing catch up, and the Chiefs will end up winning by 4 points.
How's so Breach, is there a trick here?
I just think that what Wilson kind of said explains it, where so option one, there's like three doors, and I like that there's multiple options for the Browns potentially to have more offensive yards. Number one, door number one is the Chiefs come out rusty like they did against the Texans. The Browns have a big first quarter, maybe two scoring drives. One could be a field goal and a touchdown, two field goals, whatever. So all of a sudden they have, say, 160 offensive yard, and the Chiefs have 50 after the first quarter, or quarter and a half, and then Kansas City puts it on. Number two is the Chiefs go up big early. Browns are playing catch up the whole game, especially the second half, kind of like we saw in the Steelers-Browns game. And the Steelers ended up with more total yards than Cleveland because they were playing catch up the entire time. And then number three is that we just see another shocker. The Browns pull off the upset. And if they do that, I think it's going to be because they slow down Kansas City's offense.
Just looking back on the Chiefs season, they have like five or six games where they won and had less total yards than their opponent. They also had a couple where it was very close. So this is entirely plausible, and I like it as a prediction. The only thing I can't get past for this game, I do think Cleveland can cover. I mean, 10 is a ton of points in any game. I mean, I think it wouldn't be shocking at all if the Chiefs blew them out of the water. What's that?
They haven't blown anyone out yet.
Right. I mean, they've kept all these games have been closed, but it is Andy Reid off the bye.
That's true.
Andy Reid. That's the only off the bye. Or Andy Reid off two byes, really.
I was going to say, also, is Andy Reid off two byes negate Andy Reid off one bye? Is that too much bye?
No, I don't think week 17, Patrick Mahomes is off two byes. Andy Reid just off one. He still had the game plan for week 17. The issue is that you watch what Big Ben did in the second half. And I know
that was tight butthole syndrome, I think.
No, but I mean, those dudes were running wide open.
It's hard to play with a 25-point lead with 30 minutes to go.
Especially when you're Cleveland, you haven't been to the playoffs in freaking forever. That's true. I will point out these stats from our friend of the show, friend of the program, Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders. He is taking a look at the Browns defense and where they are bad. They are 29th in DVOA on deep passes. They are 29th in DVOA on third down passes. And they are 28th in DVOA on passes to tight ends. If you had to pick three stats that you really don't want to be bad at against the Kansas City Chiefs, those would be it. If Patrick Mahomes just converts third downs, if Travis Kelce is running wide open like those Steelers receivers were for much of the game, and if Tyreek Hill is getting deep on a frequent basis, this is a potential bloodbath.
Denzel Ward is back. I don't know what his status is. That would certainly help.
Denzel Ward would be a huge difference maker for sure. I don't know that he... Is Denzel Ward covering Tyreek Hill? Oh, I
mean, but you have a plan that involves a first round pick that's pretty good. So
yeah, no, he's been fantastic this year. I guess that's sort of where I'm at. I want to take the Browns. I want the Browns to be frisky here. I think the Browns can hang around, but at the same time, when you start to look at the matchup and what Kansas City might do to them, the only path to Cleveland, there are two paths to Cleveland covering. One is whatever happened against Pittsburgh, where they score early and then they just kind of hold on. The Chiefs win by 7, or two, the Chiefs are up by 14, somewhere between 14 and 16 points, and Baker Mayfield throws a garbage time touchdown, which I either one is very plausible, but man, I don't know. Kansas City could just come out
and Brinson, I know you mentioned the Andy Reid off the bye thing, and two quick stats on that real quick. Number one, in his career, he is 23-3, including the playoffs, coming off a bye. Number two, when you combine just Reed and Patrick Mahomes together off a bye, they are 6-0, and they average 38 points per game.
I mean, it can't. So the look that I would make here, we'll talk about this more on our Best Bets podcast tomorrow, but the Chiefs team total in this game is 33.5 right now. Now, it's heavily juiced, minus 125 to the over. How are the Chiefs not scoring 35 points?
They averaged 38 points off a bye with Patrick Mahomes.
The only way they don't score 35 points is if the Browns score less than 17. Like 31-17 is possible. 31-14, 31-10. I mean, if it's a slaughter,
this
I don't think
that had, this is a team that had 10 points with 2 minutes to go against the Falcons in week 16 and should have lost, except that AJ Terrell dropped that interception in the end zone. I mean, they could very easily score 20, 25 points.
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'll bet you on that.
Okay.
To over under 25.
I will say that I think the Chiefs are kind of underestimating the Falcons, who had a bad record, were a bad NFC team. They're not going to be underestimating anyone in the playoffs, especially a team that just upset the Steelers.
Anyway, somebody just dropped a Super Bowl week video of us singing Andy Reid off the bye in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. As Wilson points out, that was just 50 weeks ago. Feels like 50.
Last time I left my basement.
Yeah, it feels like 50 years ago. Last sporting event for sure. I want to say that the Browns keep it close. I have a hard time actually imagining that. I do like the over here, the regular over, and I like the team total for the Chiefs over. I don't know if I can get behind the Browns scoring more than 23 points.
Dude, they lit up the Titans. Chiefs defense isn't great. It's better than the Titans defense. They lit up the Steelers. I mean, they got lucky with the turnovers, and that's a big part of it. I don't know.
Are you on the Browns bandwagon?
They scored 42 in the loss to the Ravens.
They're gonna cover. I think they're gonna cover.
Okay.
Ten's
a lot of points in the divisional round. It's a lot of points. But anything less than 10, and every one of their brothers taking the Chiefs. At 10, you can at least talk yourself into the Browns.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, NFC bold predictions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Rams at Packers. This game is slated for Saturday, 4:35 p.m. on Fox. Two Fox games this week. Me no likey. Breach, what is your bold prediction for Rams at Packers? Packers are -6.5 in this game.
I am going super bold here. My bold prediction Rams is that whoever the quarterback is for the Rams throws more touchdown passes than Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, that is spicy.
That sounds
crazy. MQB, regardless.
Jared Goff, John Wolford, Blake Bortles, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Could be anyone.
That's very spicy. Now, I got to give that an A+. I mean, I don't know where else you could go with that.
Thanks, Brinson.
I mean, right?
I agree.
But doesn't it have to actually happen? Like, this isn't happening.
I disagree. See, there's an out here that you haven't considered, Wilson, and it's that the Packers, Aaron Rodgers throws So Devontae Adams is down on the one, and then Rodgers runs in, or Aaron Jones runs in, or, you know, Jones breaks off a few big runs against the Rams. It's a low-scoring game. There's two Wolford touchdowns, or one Wolford touchdown and three Packers rushing touchdowns. There's a ton of outs here for Breach in what is a bold prediction that most people would look at and say, that's insane.
Okay. It's insane.
I thought you were just going to go with the Rams win the game outright.
No, that's I tried that with the Bears last week. That blew up in my face.
That's actually less bold than the bold prediction he made.
It might be. So there's definitely a path. You can go with like Cam Akers 200 rushing yards. So the path to the Rams winning is pretty obvious, right? Devontae Adams locks down. Jalen Ramsey locks down Devontae Adams. And by locks down, I don't mean three catches, 20 yards.
Eight catches, 90 yards.
70 yards would be bad.
I was going to say eight catches.
No touchdowns. Anything under 100 yards and no touchdowns is a lockdown, in my opinion, of Devontae Adams.
And maybe even under 100 yards and one touchdown.
If he went 70 and a touch, I think people would be like, all right, good job, Jalen Ramsey.
100%.
He locks him down. Aaron Donald is fully recovered, uncorks on Aaron Rodgers, just gets in his grill. And we've seen this against Tampa Bay this year, where Rodgers got punched in the mouth and kind of quit. And we saw that from San Francisco twice last year in the playoffs, including in the playoffs. And so I just wonder, is there a chance this Rams defensive line can be so aggressive with Jalen Ramsey on the back end that it really just ruins Aaron Rodgers' day?
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, that's exactly how you're going to beat him. That's your route to victory. And you know what? I think a lot of people, when John Wolford was starting in week 17, everyone wrote off the Rams and said, well, they can't win. They can't beat Kyler Murray with a backup quarterback, but it didn't matter because the defense played so well. I mean, Kyler Murray went out with an injury, but still they held the Cardinals to 7 points and the defense scored 9 of the 18 points. And then you look at last week against the Seahawks, John Wolford starting, Jared Goff has to come off the bench with like half broken thumb. They still win. Why? Because the defense shut down Russell Wilson, came up with a touchdown just like they did against the Cardinals, and that pick six ended up being the difference in the game. Because if it's 23-20 instead of 30-20 there at the end, it's a completely different game. And so this week you say, you know what? Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't make big mistakes, but the last 2 weeks, it's just the Rams can't win. They don't have a quarterback. Their defense is going to have to win it. It's the same thing you're saying this week. So as well as that defense has been playing, as long as Aaron Donald is on the field, and you know what? He's dealing with a rib injury. So maybe they have to cut his snaps down. If they have to cut his snaps down, I don't feel so good about this game. But if I'm the Rams and I'm a Rams fan, I think it's plausible. I have that upset in my mind. I think it's completely possible.
I mean, you look at this game. By the way, you know what's crazy about last week? The two quarterbacks who were making their debuts in the playoff both won outright. Wolford and Baker Mayfield, which is kind of crazy. You look at this, it's like Wolford going to Green Bay in the weather. This is not happening. This is not a plausible outcome. But just because of the way that the Rams are built, and because the Packers' biggest weakness on defense is that you can run against them, there's a chance Cam Akers goes crazy. And if you can make the Packers one-dimensional, even at home, and they have to come back, and their one dimension happens to be your strength on defense, in other words, rushing the passer on the interior with Aaron Donald, and then, you know, that coverage on an alpha receiver, I think there's a chance the Rams can pull off this upset. There's also a chance, you know, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers does Aaron Rodgers MVP things. They score twice in the first quarter, and it's good night, Irene. Right?
Yeah.
I
can buy that.
All right.
And the last time these two teams played, they've only played once since McVay was hired. 2018, the Rams won 29-27. It's a much better Rams team. But Aaron Rodgers only threw one touchdown pass in that game. The Rams defense did a good job of bottling him up, so who knows?
Okay, Bucks at Saints. This game is the late game on Sunday night. Fantastic. Brady and Breeze on Fox, 6:40 p.m. Saints are 3-point favorites in this game, over under 52. Wilson, give me a bold prediction here.
Well, I prefaced it, sort of gave you a sneak peek with the Stephon Diggs bold prediction. Antonio Brown, this guy's going to score 3 touchdowns. So he started off his Buccaneers career, 0 touchdowns in his first 5 starts. I think they went 1-4 in those games. And then he ended the season with touchdowns in each of the last 4 games, including 2 against Atlanta in week 17. I think now he's going to score 3, and the Bucs still don't lose.
All right. So the grade for this, I want to give it a B minus because you just basically duplicated your Stephon Diggs bowl prediction. However, I have Antonio Brown on an FFPC championship team and I want to wish cast this into existence. So I'm going to give you a B plus.
I'll take it.
I actually think this isn't that crazy because of how New Orleans plays coverage. Like I would anticipate that we got the thrice annual for this year, Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore, just bloodbath, blood feud. Those guys hate each other. They fight every time they're out there.
And wait, so I think Marshawn and who?
Mike Evans.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I missed that.
But remember when that Jameis ran on the field and like poked like Marshawn Lattimore in the back of the head and Mike Evans went nuts and got ejected?
No, I don't.
He started punching him and they battle every time.
Good. All right. That makes
sense. They hate each other.
Good.
So I think a lot of that, like, they're going to be focused on Mike Evans, and then I think they'll focus on Chris Godwin. And I agree with you. I think the forgotten man here might be Antonio Brown. And
as Breach noted, Rob Gronkowski has scored 3 touchdowns in a playoff game before, so he could be an X factor.
Yeah. They got to get the ball out quick, too. That's the other thing. If you want to beat the Saints with Brady, I think you got to get the ball out quick. I like the Saints a lot in this spot. I think
I do, too.
You know, I don't think it matters that you can't beat the team 3 times in 1 season. Yes, you can. It happens all the time. As Breach puts out, happens like 2/3 of the time.
And
the
only time it does is 0-4 against Sean Payton since he's taken the Buccaneers job. So you think about the fact that his no risk it, no biscuit offense just hasn't been working against the Saints defense. Tom Brady threw 5 interceptions in those 2 losses this season. Brady's just struggled to move the ball on the Saints.
Brady and the Bucs are 1-4 against top 10 defenses by DVOA straight up and 0-5 against the spread in those games.
That's not good.
That's not good. I mean, they're not great against great defenses, and the Saints have a great defense. I don't think this turns into a blowout, though. I can't buy the fact that Tom Brady and this offense get blown out in the playoffs.
I think it'll be close. I think the biggest concern is the Buccaneers defense.
Yep. If you can, if Alvin Kamara, like, can they slow down to Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas? Cause I think the Saints started to get something cooking against the Bears. It's sort of like a training wheels game for them coming back and trying to get healthy.
Yeah. Those guys haven't played together in forever. Kamara, Breeze, and Thomas. So that was, like you said, sort of a preseason game for them. No disrespect to the Bears.
Oh, whatsoever. I'm going to bump you up to an A minus on Antonio Brown.
There you go.
Any other thoughts on this game or anything else from these spots?
Nope. But you can go to YouTube and watch me do a draft show with Brady Quinn.
From 4 to 5 p.m. Well, people won't know that. This will be Thursday. So
yes,
they can go to YouTube and watch the video that was recorded on Tuesday. And then in the comment section, you can wish me happy birthday because my birthday was Wednesday.
Nice. Oh, Breach, happy birthday. Sorry.
Wait, Breach, I got to go, but Breach is going to be 40?
No, that's ridiculous.
39, okay.
Be 40 or 39?
I'm the youngest one on the podcast.
Okay, 39.
Right now,
Evo's by the way 28 or 29.
Evo's on like a separate conference call. All right, Wilson's got to go do the draft show. I got to go walk my dog. Breach has got to go start celebrating his birthday a day early with lots of tequila. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday, Breach. Thanks for listening. Make sure and tune in to the Pick Show tomorrow. We will see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.